Subway has teamed up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for $5 to participating Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See store for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. All right, it's a very somber BS report. I'm going to use my Bob Lee voice. I hate doing it, but you know what? I would be doing it if the roles were reversed. We got to give our friend Jacko, a diehard Yankee fan, a chance to gloat about what happened last week with the big poppy PED revelations. This hurts. It hurts to make this phone call, but let's do it anyway. We're going to call him right now on the Subway Fresh Take hotline. All right.
Bill, Jacko, partners in crime, the Subway Fresh Take hotline.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
Oh, Johnny.
Oh, young William. Oh, Willie. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, I would have been a man and made this phone call last week, but unfortunately I was traveling for a work assignment. So we had to wait till today, Monday afternoon. I'm sure you're still in full gloat mode, I'm guessing.
I am excited. I have to admit it's somewhat tempered by the fact that the Yanks lost 3 out of 4 to the White Sox. I mean, on Friday, I was like a kid with ADHD on cocaine. I was like jumping around the room. Could not contain myself, my glee. It was just over the top. That podcast might have exploded. It might have been ugly.
Your head might have
wheeled me out on a stretcher. I was just so happy about it on Friday, yeah.
But now the Yanks have fallen apart. You're not as happy.
Not as happy. I'm still happy, mind you, but it's taken away some of my glee, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Johnny. I'm sorry I took away some of your sarcastic glee from the podcast.
Yes, I know. It's disappointing for you.
Well, now there's rumors that maybe Big Poppy didn't cheat.
Oh, right. He didn't cheat. What are those rumors? That he just took a supplement and, oops, it was all a big mistake?
Yeah, it was a supplement that maybe it wasn't banned.
Right. Okay. Whatever it takes to get you through the night. If that helps you get through the night, then you keep whispering that to yourself. That's fine.
I want to know where George Mitchell is during all this. He was supposed to protect us!
George Mitchell is like Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther movies. I mean, I don't know what's a better analogy, Inspector Clouseau or he's like the cop from the movie Casablanca who was shocked to find out there was gambling going on.
Yeah.
He's focusing on Radomski and McNamee, and somehow everybody in New York is involved. And yet, the two biggest stars in the history of the Boston Red Sox, who led them to the
That's a little strong. The history of the Red Sox is a little strong.
Oh, I'd say in the history of the Red Sox.
Manny and Poppy, they're the two biggest stars in the history of the Red Sox.
Yeah, I would say, well...
I would say they were the heart and soul of the 04 and 07 champs.
I would say that because 95% of current Red Sox fans think that baseball was invented in October 2004, I'd say among current Red Sox fans, the biggest stars in the history of the game.
I don't even have a good response.
Since you know, people were watching Jim Rice's number get retired last Tuesday, and they were like, did he platoon with Millar? Who's this Rice guy?
I remember
him on the duck boats.
That was their reaction along with, we used to have African-Americans in the Red Sox?
Yeah, that too, exactly.
Those two reactions, yeah.
So I know Red Sox fans now want to tell themselves, well, maybe it was just something he bought at GNC over the counter and it had something illegal in it.
That's okay. What I'm telling myself, Jen.
Yeah, you do that. Well, then explain to me how when he was told in 2004 that he failed the test, which it came out today that every player who was on the list in 03 was told about it, how did he feign surprise the other day and say, they just told me, I had to clarify it. What? Who knew? I mean, why would you lie about that if you're like, oh, I knew about it 5 years ago and it was a mistake about a supplement?
Hold on, I'm going to confer with my attorney.
I think you should do so.
John, I'm not going to answer those questions at this time.
I'd like to plead the fifth, I understand. I mean, I understand it's disappointing because everybody loves Big Poppy, and, you know, he's like the big lovable cartoon character of current Red Sox Nation. Oh, Red Sox Nation, Freudian slip. And everybody understands that, and it's hurtful, and you all hate Manny because he's not on your team anymore, so he like never existed. He's been erased like Stalin would erase people on the podium with him in pictures when they were out of favor with the party. So I know Manny's all dead to you. That was easy to get rid of. Oh, Manny, oh, he never did that in the Red Sox. No, it just started when he was out in L.A. trying to get a big contract. But Big Poppy, who's one of your own and everybody loves, that one, well, it must have been some sort of a supplement. Right, that's it. I love Big Poppy's performance all around, though. His February news conference about steroids where he just did, like, the full-throated denial, like Bill Clinton, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah.
If you're just going to blatantly lie, just do it, like, as loudly as possible and bang your chest, and everyone will be like, wow, he must be telling the truth. He was really vociferous about it.
Yeah.
And now it comes out that he's a Reuter, so everyone's like, but he had this big denial. Whoa, who knew? And now his, like, OJ-esque, you know, he's going to get to the bottom of this test and find out what went wrong there. While OJ, just like OJ's out looking for the real killers on the golf course. Meanwhile, it's been 4 days. I haven't heard from Big Poppy yet. Guess he's still investigating it.
He's had some comments.
Yes.
Yeah, he said he's still waiting to hear from Major League Baseball about what happened.
Yeah. What's he going to do? He's going to independently test the results?
I got to say, you know, I don't know if he knew or not or he did it or whatever. Like, this whole list, this is such like a weird, shammy type thing, but... If let's say you end up on that list and you didn't take anything.
Sure.
Wouldn't you react, you know, like somebody in cold case is being pulled out of a house screaming, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Like four cops are holding you back.
Yeah, of course.
That's how you profess your innocence. Like
right.
You just go complete, like kind of like what Ben Roethlisberger did when he held the press conference about the civil suit. Like I watched that press conference. And I was like, yeah, he's really upset. He's over and over again saying that he did not do this and all that stuff. I feel like if you're not going to go to that level, then maybe there's some truth to it.
You should have like lawyers with you immediately who are saying, not only are we going to sue Major League Baseball for leaking this falsely, but we're also suing the New York Times for slander. I mean, you'd be screaming about suing people, and this is an outrage, and where do I go to get my name back, all that. Big Poppy was like, first he had no comment, and then when his lawyers or agents drafted some statement that he could read after the game, and he had to have his press conference with sunglasses, like he was at the World Poker event, so we couldn't see his eyes. I mean, give me a break. His story is completely implausible. And that's before you even start to look at his numbers and what he did with the Twins, and then this amazing spike when he was with the Red Sox, and then a precipitous decline when testing came in. I mean, could you draw me a map that was any clearer?
I mean, that's the last circumstantial evidence, Johnny.
Well, it's fairly damning, I would say.
I have a couple problems here. One is that the Yankees had, I think, they might have broken the record for most steroid guys over the last 12 years.
I completely agree, and I'm the first to, I mean, I'm not claiming the Yankees are virgins in this situation, trust me.
Yeah.
But the Red Sox Nation through that I read about online and all their various blogs and message boards and what have you, they were so happy about the Mitchell report and all the Yankees and Clemens, because Clemens, again, is another guy that never, ever played for the Red Sox in history. He's dead to Boston, too. I think they forgot all about him, too. But he's just a Yankee pure through and through. They love the Mitchell report. They love the A-Rod thing. I remember when they played the Giants a couple years ago and the Boston Dirt Dogs had a big thing, an asterisk you could print out so you could wave your asterisk in the stands. And the Red Sox Nation were just a crazy group of idiots doing shots at Jack Daniels and not like the evil empire and those cheaters in the Bronx. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? You were as dirty as everybody else. And I'd argue you were dirtier because you can read me the list of all the Yankees, and I know there was a lot of them, I agree, and there was some key players there like Clemens and Pettit, but you also had like the Jason Grimsleys of the world and Chuck Knobloch, who the Yankees couldn't wait to run out of town because he was so bad. You had Manny and Poppy, the modern-day Ruth and Garrick, who single-handedly carried you to your first World Series in 86 years, and it was dirty, and they cheated just like everybody else did.
I look at it another way.
I'm not surprised.
We had to cheat to keep up with the Joneses. The only way we were winning that World Series is if we did a little funny business. Because you guys had raised the bar with the cheating so high that what were we going to do?
Right,
I think that I would argue that Manny and Poppy took one for the team.
Right. And now it comes out today that now you have two security guards in the Red Sox organization, including Jerry Remy's roided up son, who got fired last year because they were involved with steroids. This never came out until now, and the Boston Globe just sees fit to release that story today, 4 days after the Big Poppy revelations, when it's safe to do so.
Yeah, a little suspicious timing.
So it makes you wonder, like, if the security guards are on steroids, how prevalent is it in the Red Sox organization, in Red Sox Nation?
We've talked about this before. The difference between the Red Sox and the Yankees was that the Red Sox didn't have the scumbag hanger-on clubhouse guy or whoever that, you know, those
are the
guys
that are... Yeah, the McAmees and stuff, right.
Yeah, or the Kirk Radomskis. Those are the guys that are always at the fulcrum of this. And the Red Sox, for whatever reason, none of those guys have come out yet. But now you have the Jerry Remy's black sheep son. And, you know, put it this way. The Big Poppy revelation last week was not exactly, you know.
It wasn't shocking.
Well, if you're a real Red Sox fan, I think you kind of had been bracing for this for a while. Kind of, you know, there, as you said, there were a lot of dots. But the Jerry Remy thing with the son, this is, I feel like this could get ugly. There's a lot of
layers to this. And I mean,
it's not good.
The outrage about it is the George Mitchell thing. Who, I mean, the guy's the freaking director of the Red Sox, and because the Red Sox are so in bed with Bud Selig and vice versa, the ownership group, he puts George Mitchell in charge of it, and how George Mitchell can be willfully blind to everything in front of him so that he tarnishes the great name of the New York Yankees and throughout his phony report, and the Red Sox come out smelling like a rose, like they didn't know nothing about any steroids. Give me a freaking break. I mean, it's such an outrage. Absolute outrage.
This is where we should say that the opinions of John O'Connell are the opinions of John O'Connell alone.
Absolutely.
By no means express the meaning of ESPN.com or whatever that disclaimer is.
No, exactly.
But this Remy thing's really ugly, though, because, you know, he fits that hang-on thing. He has a background that's a little seedy, like
right.
2005 domestic violence thing with
his girlfriend, and he still kept his job.
Yeah, and then you get to the part where his dad's been sick all year, and it's just nothing good. It's one of those stories that you know the media is going to have to report on and write about for the next 5-6 weeks, but it just there's no good in it. It's just a sucky story that stinks.
I think it's fantastic. Your whole organization is as seedy as everybody else. They can come off their holier-than-thou platform that every Red Sox fan seems to think they have of the old town team and the friendly ballpark and everything.
Are you sure that's the case, or are you just being biased?
No, every Red Sox fan is holier than... I mean, when it came out about A-Rod, every Red Sox fan that I know was so gleeful about it. And right.
Oh, hold on. There's one that was very restrained that you know, who you're talking to right now. We could have Joe Mead play back the podcast where I was like, I'm not going to really exult over this A-Rod thing because of...
You're wise enough to know that there was going to be another shoe or two that we're going to drop eventually.
Yeah, I was looking up at the sky and there was a size 15 boot. I could see way in the distance, like in one of the clouds. Like, ooh.
Right.
What's that coming toward us?
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think we all kind of knew.
No one is pure in this thing, and every team has guys probably that, maybe not the Pittsburgh Pirates, but you know, nobody had anybody in this era that was not tainted by the whole steroids thing. I'm just glad to see that. Talking about getting through the night, it helps me get through the night about the 3-0, 3-0 of the choke in 2004. So.
Well, that's what, and then when I wrote about this 2 months ago, and yeah, I wrote that, I think that you can interpret the word taint different ways.
Sure.
Like, none of the experiences I had watching that team and exulting in what happened are tainted. But now when you look back at what happened 5 years ago, it's hard to just look at what happened without that little shadow.
Yeah.
It's just going to be there. You're going to think it. You're going to say, there's the Big Poppy home run. And just deep, somewhere in the recesses of your brain, there's just that little shadow. And I think that's the thing that's unfortunate. Because for me, at least, the 2004 experience was just the purest sports experience I've had.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that's where it gets a little depressing. And then you start thinking, like, can you have a pure sports experience anymore? Does everything have to be ruined?
And you could argue, like, looking back, I don't mean to be super cynical here, but I suppose I am, but maybe there never was such a thing as, like, a pure sports moment.
Maybe not.
You know, I mean, you could always find some taint to something. Maybe not a taint as blatant as the steroid thing, but, you know, be at the 27 Yankees and say, well, African Americans, they couldn't play the game. So is there a taint there because it was just all white guys?
Well, look at, like, I wonder, like, how the Cincinnati Reds fans feel. Like, they watched this big red machine in 75, 76, this monolith, just unbelievable team, memorable. They loved it. But that, then what, everything that happened to Pete Rose after.
Right.
It's hard not to think about when you see those old Pete Rose highlights or think about what happened to him. It's hard not to think about how his life turned out after. It just taints it a little.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't mean it's a taint, like it makes the experience less worthy.
Yeah, but it's not just, like the 1919 Black Sox or anything. Like they didn't pay, they weren't paying umpires or, you know.
It's a variable.
Throw it, right.
Yeah, it's a variable that's been added to your memory.
Right.
That you might not necessarily want. So that's what's
And because
nice.
After 86 years, everybody and their brother had to get their 2 cents in and wax poetic about, oh, the lyrical mysticism and wonder of it all. I'm happy to, from a Yankees perspective, I'm happy to see that hoist on its own petard. So that gives me excitement and joy.
Well, you know what makes me happy is that your decade of not winning anything, that you have to now take excitement and joy in
that's all I've
the
got.
Misfortune
right.
of other teams. I enjoy that.
You're right.
So we're both happy.
Had the Yankees won the World Series last year, I'd have been like, oh, whatever, we won the World Series. Who cares about the 2004 anymore? But
yeah, remember the days
that's all I've got.
Remember the days when the Yankee fans just regarded the Red Sox as this second-tier citizen?
Right, like an annoying little brother that was trying to tag along, basically.
Yeah. We were trying to feud with you, and you guys were like, whatever.
Right, just cute, just pat you on the head and say, that's cute, you know, go along your way.
That's cute. Nice performance winning one game in our playoff series. Good luck, fellas.
Right, exactly.
Now you're rejoicing in our misery.
Now you're a juggernaut. I was all day Friday. I was so scared that you were going to go out and get Halliday in addition to Victor Martinez or do some other blockbuster. I was so fearful.
I was hoping and praying that we could foist Mr. Clay Buchholz on the Blue Jays in some sort of package.
I know.
I was
worried about that too. JP Ricciardi, we talked about this last time, but you know, I was afraid his Worcester roots would come to the surface and his Red Sox fandom would lead him to do something stupid.
It's Buchholz thing, just classic. You know, 3 weeks ago, nobody wanted to trade him for Victor Martinez.
Right.
And now, you know, they made that trade last week, and I don't know. I guess I know Buchholz has more value than the combination of Masterson and Nick Hagedorn.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have the two guys. I would have rather have given up Buchholz. I just don't think he's going to make it. And, you know, my buddy Hench emailed me last night and said, last 100 innings, Buchholz has pitched. He's allowed 180 base runners.
In 100 innings?
Yeah.
180? Oh, my God.
180 base runners.
Yikes.
And anytime something even hints at going wrong, he just self-combusts.
He does not have the look of an intimidator out there. Let's put it that way on the mound.
There's a confidence that's missing. And I don't know. I mean, you could look at all the stats and point to all different things. But at some point, you got to just trust what you're seeing with your eyes. I see a guy that's not confident.
He dated the penthouse pet of the year. That's what John Farrell, the pitching coach, would go out there and tell him.
Yeah.
You're Clay Buchholz. He dated the penthouse pet of the year. Come on now. Throw strikes.
You don't turn it around, you're going to be looking at Swank.
Exactly.
I'm going to throw this out at you, Johnny.
Yes.
And I want you to take a nice deep breath and prepare for what I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I think what happened with Ortiz on Thursday might have thrown this 2009 Red Sox team into FU mode.
I know. You know what? Part of that, I was a little afraid of that. I know. I thought the same thing. This could be the old rally around the flag. It's them against us. So it's
turn the season around.
Yeah.
By Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, earlier part of the week, this team just looked lifeless and it just looked like they were heading nowhere. And then the Big Poppy thing happens. To get Victor Martinez the next day, that guy is like a breath of fresh air, man. He's like same thing like what you guys had with Swisher.
Yeah.
Martinez so happy, like just good guy, nice guy, like you could just awesome teammate. You could see it immediately. We had another bat that we really needed. And then they call up this kid from
Reddick.
Portland. Wow.
Sea Dogs.
Ball carries off his bat. And Hench and I were exchanging emails about it because I always thought that Lars Anderson was a better prospect than this guy. But
he's the guy everybody raves about.
Well, he had like over 500 slugging percentage in Portland. It's pretty good.
I will say this. You were playing the Baltimore Orioles this weekend. So I think we need to see a little bigger sample before we go too nuts about any of these things.
The Orioles are our elixir.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, Camden Yards is Fenway South. I mean, I watched some of the highlights or some of the game, actually. Mm. I forget what game it was, and there's more freaking Red Sox fans there than Oriole fans.
The Orioles are like going to Jamba Juice and getting that Cold Buster drink. Just chug it down. 16 ounces of the Orioles.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens against the Rays this week. And I've already steeled myself to the fact that you're going to go into New York and take 3 out of 4. I don't have a doubt of that in my mind. So, and even though John Smoltz is involved in the pitching, I have no doubt about that. But
oh my God, it's a whole other story.
The Yankees, Girardi at least did something smart and moved Sergio Mitre. They switched up the rotation, so Sergio Mitre is going to pitch against the Blue Jays on Wednesday, and he won't face the Sox. So that's one good thing.
How did you feel about how Toronto handled that Holiday thing? On my Twitter, I compared it to when like the eighth place guy in your fantasy league whose team sucks, who starts making these outrageous demands for his one best player, and then everybody's like, ah, screw you, and he's end up stuck with him.
Yeah, now they're still there, and they're going to be, 10 games under 500 by the time it's all said and done with Roy Halladay, which is the same they would have been without Roy Halladay, probably. So, I don't know. I mean, I never quite understood the rationale, really, for trading him. He's signed for relatively low money. I realize it's to get prospects, are the Blue Jays really that far away?
See, I would flip that around. I would wonder what was the rationale for the contenders not to trade for him.
Oh, yeah, if you were a contender. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of confused why they didn't get a package that they liked.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum before about Johan Santana and my thought on prospects. Yeah. But if you're like the Philadelphia Phillies, I hope it comes back to bite them in the ass. Not that I care about the Phillies or the Blue Jays, but just for comedy's sake. I mean, is Kyle Drabek, is he going to be the next Roy Halladay someday? I mean, what are the odds on that? 100-1? 1,000-1? Higher?
It's supposedly the Blue Jays wanted Buchholz and Daniel Bard.
Yeah.
I love Daniel Bard. I think he's our next closer. He's probably my favorite pitcher on the team. I get excited every time he comes in. I think he's a can't-miss, barring our arm trouble, can't-miss closer. Mm. I almost feel like I would have given that up for Halladay.
I mean,
because you gotta give up something to get something. That's the thing, is like these people that... we got to get Roy Halladay, and then we have to trade Daniel. Oh, well, we can't trade Daniel Bard. Right. It's like, well, Toronto's got to get something.
Well, fans are always, they're crazy, basically. Be it Yankee fans calling up the fan and saying, like, can we throw Kagawa into a mix for Halladay or something? Or or Red Sox fans that try and have a package built around Manny Del Carmen to get Halladay.
Right. I mean,
it's not going to happen.
In my opinion, Buchholz and Bard, plus, like, some low-level prospect for Halladay is a really fair trade. Although the part where Buchholz, I think, is smoke and mirrors. But let's assume that he's really a number one starter prospect.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting a number one starter and a closer, basically, for the best pitcher in baseball. I'm going to throw that out. I think he's number one. And I think in a playoff series, he would be the first guy I would take over maybe Beckett. Because Beckett's done it before. You might argue Halladay versus Beckett, I don't know. But all I know is if you had Halladay and Beckett together, that's ridiculous.
I mean, all these rumors were circulating about Halladay and everything, and it made me super nervous. It gave me the shivers, actually, thinking about, you run Beckett, and you run Halladay, Beckett, and Lester out there. I mean, who's beating you in a short playoff?
Yeah, we didn't score 3 runs a game, and we win the World Series.
Exactly, right.
So, and then back to the Bard thing, you got to give something up. Like I remember in '88 for Mike Boddicker, we traded Curt Schilling and Brady Anderson, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those guys made it, but that's the roll of the dice. You're not trading the can't miss prospect. You're trading a guy who there's like a 60% chance he might make it, or a 70% chance. Like for Bard, he's probably like 85%.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be their closer. There's no doubt they're running Papelbon out of town when his contract's up, or maybe sooner.
Right.
That's why they didn't throw him into the mix in any trade thing, is because you probably could have hooked some team, although a bad team doesn't really need a closer, I guess. But
that would have been interesting, like Papelbon and smaller prospects.
But if you're the Blue Jays, you're like, we're not going to contend this year, so what do we need a closer for? Although he's locked up for a couple of years, so.
He's locked up this year and next year. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think of that. Hey, you know what? I'd really have to think about the Buchholz Bard for Halladay. I'd probably change my mind on it like 30 times. It'd be so tough to get rid of Bard, but man, you got Halladay. It's like
your options of getting like a number one ace starter and arguably the best pitcher in baseball, those don't come along every year.
Leader and a tough guy and a guy who throws 240 innings every year.
Right.
And a guy with a good nickname.
The duck.
You can't undersell the duck.
Yeah, I'm very happy they didn't make the move. I mean, out of the three things the Red Sox could have done, I know he's a big help to them, but, you know, the rumors were Halladay or Adrian Gonzalez or Martinez. So they got the worst guy from their perspective out of those three.
I like Martinez more than Gonzalez. And I know I'm in the minority with that, but
Adrian Gonzalez is younger, though, and he put up big numbers in not a hitter's park. He'd have been good for you. So he's 27.
Here's my flip side. He's in quadruple A. How much do I trust those numbers? Like, I know Victor Martinez, that guy's done it in American League with Gonzalez, even though he's younger. I know he's a good first baseman.
You don't have a position for Victor Martinez, though, because he's not really a great catcher. You have like five first baseman DH guys already. You got to make a lot, you know. Maybe he'll catch and Veritek will sit more often, but they say he's not a very good catcher.
Well, I think...
Of course, Veritek couldn't throw me out at this point either, so...
Veritek now...
Much of a difference.
They've exclusively, with Veritek now, have moved into the mode that he calls a great game. There's nothing else to say now, because it's like, yeah, base runners steal 85% of the time on him and he can't hit. But you should see the game he calls.
Does he get credit for the good calling a good game when it's Penny, Smoltz, or Buchholz? Do they just forget about it? He doesn't call such a good game those days?
I mean, that's a great question. But as I said before, Buchholz, 180 base runners in 100 innings.
Yeah, some of those were with Jason Veritek calling the pitches, no?
Yeah.
I mean, yesterday it was Victor Martinez, but I mean...
His teammates swear by him, like Schilling, you know, who's a whole other story.
Right.
Schilling always said Veritek was just unbelievable behind the plate, and there's no way the common fan could understand all the stuff.
Right, none of us are as smart as Curt Schilling when it comes to baseball.
Well, he had some interesting Clemens comments a couple years ago about Clemens' flip flop on whether he did it or not, and the Ortiz thing has.
I haven't heard a lot from 38 pitches about Ortiz.
Yeah.
Not a lot of
calling out Ortiz for the flip flops.
Congress and was, you know, berating all these guys for steroids, but Kurt had to have an inkling of what was going on in the clubhouse. It had to be some rumors to that effect. No?
You know what would be interesting?
Guys talk about it on a bus trip or plane trip, anything?
I find it hard to believe that anybody on a team doesn't know everything everybody else is doing.
Of course. These guys
are together all the time.
Right.
I think not only do they know what they're cheating with, but I think they know, like, what girls they're hooking up with,
how many
girlfriends they have in each city, who's got VD. I think they know everything.
I mean, the only thing that's the closest equivalent we could talk about is being in college together.
I was going to say that, yeah.
All the group of guys we hung out with in college or the guys that lived in our hall, was there anything we didn't know what the other one was doing?
We knew every single thing right down to who was responsible for what happened at stall number 3.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And baseball players, you know, they're the same thing. They're in the clubhouse. Now, you know, they don't, when they're at home, they don't sleep in the same hallway at night. But when they travel on the road, they're all in the same hotel. They're on long plane trips together. I mean, they know what's up.
Imagine this, like, I'm a long reliever and you're the backup catcher. And we have lockers next to each other and we're buddies. And Manny walks by us holding this leather medical kit and heads into the bathroom. We would be like, oh.
With acne. Like,
hey now.
What's going on? Right.
Yeah. Or like, you know, Big Poppy walks by us and he's got like a 6-inch whitehead on his right shoulder. We're going to be noticing this stuff, Johnny.
Absolutely.
So it really, like, bums me out when they try to play the, I had no idea, but you freaking know everything that's going on. I like your, you know, you look at, like, a 25-man baseball team, a college dorm, a 12-man NBA team, and then I think, like, a military platoon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't those be the four things where everybody knows every single thing that's going on? And a hockey team. Well, those would be the five.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like an NHL team. They know everything on an NHL team.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Or college or hoops or whatever. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Johnny. Here's my next question. At what point does Bud Selig just do a Warden and Shawshank? Just look up at the... Your time is... What did the Judgment Day has cometh, whatever?
Yeah.
How far away are we from that?
No,
and what else can go wrong with this guy as commissioner?
Yeah, but the thing is, like, the owners love him. They love the wild card. They love the All-Star game. This time it counts. I mean, you know, they love the wild card thing because it has many more teams are in the hunt than they would be if it was just the division winners to get in the playoffs.
All right, but this goes back. This drives me crazy, the whole credit thing. Does Bud Selig really get credit for the wild card? Like, that was an idea that was around when we were in elementary school.
Yeah,
like,
but
he implemented it.
You know.
Well, so somebody else could have.
And I mean, on the steroids thing, I know he gets killed on the steroid thing, and he was the commissioner and it all went down, but I don't know, but Silk doesn't strike me as all that bright. Like, do you really think he knew, like, about steroids, or do you think he just has sort of, like, a kid's view of the game and just was, like, happy to have all these home runs and didn't really want it explained to him how it was happening?
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, I don't know. I don't get the sense that Bud is really all that with it. I mean, not to kill Bud Selig. He seems like your, you know, like your affable grandfather. But is he really like a hands-on guy, like a David Stern, where he's going to know everything that goes on in the league and know about like steroids and things? I mean, he's from Milwaukee. He was like a car dealer. I don't know how worldly Bud Selig is to know like what's out there.
You think he was like Carmelo Soprano? Like, Tony's coming home with, like, a suitcase of cash. He's like, I gotta go to the garage. I'll be right back. And Carmelo's like, well, that's weird that he found a suitcase of cash like that.
Yeah, I think Bud was like, wow, that home run by McGuire was really far. That's cool. Whoa, I hit a lot of homers. Can I have another bratwurst?
See, 70 homers. Wow.
Gee, it's a lot. And other people were like, geez, interesting. He was like, you know. Whether it was willful ignorance or just ignorance, I don't know. I think he takes too much criticism for that in a way. I realize he's the commissioner and the buck stops with him and all that, but you know, how much is he really going to know? He's not in the clubhouse with guys to know.
Well, maybe he was like us. Like, we didn't know any of this stuff either.
No,
I only thought like football players took steroids. Like the guy from the program, but that was like to me the steroid profile guy. Never really occurred to me that baseball guys would be able to do it. And then you'd see, I remember when Thomas Boswell called out Canseco.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was a big deal? Everybody turned on Boswell. How dare you? How dare you besmirch Canseco?
And when you first had the Bash Brothers in the 80s, it was like they were really big, and they were like, oh, well, we were big into lifting weights and the Nautilus, and baseball players are always told you're not really supposed to lift weights because you get too muscle-bound. It'll hurt your flexibility. You won't be able to swing. So it was just like, wow, I guess they were wrong about that. You really can lift weights. But nobody really attributed it to steroids or anything. You never put two and two together. Steroids were always something for the Olympics or weightlifting. You didn't think about it in baseball.
Yeah, not like East German women took them.
Yes.
To become weightlifters.
Because then they stopped being East German women.
Yeah. I remember there was one year, I'm going to say like 90 or 91, 92, somewhere early 90s, Ruben Sierra showed up like 35 pounds heavier.
Mm.
Gammons wrote about it like, wow, Ruben Sierra is a different guy. And there was like a twinge to the story of... It's pretty hard to, because Dykstra, there was this, right, I'm going to say 92, 93, a couple guys showed up with the extra 35 pounds of weight muscle that they'd somehow gained in 4 months.
Right.
Which, when you think about it, is impossible.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So,
but in 98, you know, McGuire had that thing in his locker, that Andro that you could buy over the counter that was just some supplement you put in your milk or whatever.
Yeah.
And people, you know, I think people were like, oh, well, that's how he does it. He just takes some vitamins and lifts weights.
Yeah, I didn't
care. Drinks milk. You know, whatever.
I sat in the bleachers at Fenway for the 99 home run derby and was convinced that the balls were juiced. And it never even occurred to me that the guys were on juiced. Steroids. I think the tipping point was when his head started to grow.
Yeah, and guys started to, like, yeah, they started, their facial structure started to be different looking and just getting to be too big. And I guess the McGuire thing, like the Andro, that kind of became a story when somebody talked about the Andro and people were like, well, that's kind of like, could be a cover for steroids. And,
right.
That's when it sort of peeled back the cover.
Do you think Bud Selig was like, wow, Barry Bonds, his head's growing. This is amazing. We're kind of biased against Bud Selig because he's from the same place where one of our roommates, Chip, was.
That's right. We've been to Milwaukee.
It's a simple place. We love it.
It was great. I loved Milwaukee. I loved Green Bay. But
it's simple, nice, unassuming people.
We
aren't
going to
question steroids.
Exactly. We have a normal East Coast bias, so we're like, you know, you're not from the East Coast or the West Coast. You know, you're there in the middle of America. You're not going to know what's going on in the underbelly of the underworld of society. And that's what I think about Bud. He's eating a bratwurst, watching Bernie Brewer slide down the slide. He didn't care what was going on.
You think Bud was like Chip? Like, he was like, I want to do something about steroids, but I can't.
Yeah, exactly. 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 Our buddy Chip, who we love from Milwaukee, was, we called him the non-aggressive guy in college, because that's how he would say things like, I want to do X, but I can't.
I have photos of Chip just sitting outside his locked dormitory door while his roommate had his way with his girlfriend at the time.
Not Chip's, his own girlfriend, not Chip's girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, Chip's
that
girlfriend.
Would really be bad. He's not that not aggressive.
Yeah, he would have fought for that one. But just day after day, he'd come back from a class, and Chip would just be sitting in front of his door redoing his homework.
Locked out.
Be like, I just want to tell him, F you. Like, well, why don't you? Then it would come out after about 20 drinks. But yeah, maybe that's what Bud Selig looks like.
It could be, exactly.
I just want to tell Donald Fair, F you.
Right.
But I can't.
Well, that's the other problem, is that, you know, the baseball union is so powerful that they just were like, you know, it was like I don't know if I'm a big Star Wars guy, but like the Jedi mind trick or something.
Yeah.
You know, Bud Selig's like, we want to test for steroids. And Donald Fair's like, no, you don't. Bud Selig's like, maybe I don't. I guess I don't.
I love that Donald Fair, like, you can always tell by somebody's impact in the sports industry or sports world, whatever, when the guy announces his retirement.
Yeah.
And what the reaction is from the media. And with that, it was like, oh. Well, I mean, I guess he had a good run, but
right.
People just had no idea how to put it into perspective, this guy who had obviously damaged the game in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, there was nothing like, oh, well, he did so much, or, you know, they always find some happy story to talk about. Not with him.
I'll never forget when he canceled baseball in 1994.
Right.
That's when I took up archery, so I guess I have to thank him for that.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That extra time I spent with my son.
Yeah.
Thank you, Donald Fair.
Yeah. Union guys are just so bad. Oh, God. They're awful.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, what if Stern was commissioner during this whole thing, starting from, you know, when it became pretty obvious to the insiders that stuff was going on. So, like, mid-90s through now. I wonder how he would have handled it.
Well, I mean, if it was, that's the other thing too. I mean, when I said part of it maybe was willful ignorance. I mean, they were coming back from the strike, which so damaged the sport, and people swore they were going to stay away. So, you know, you could kind of like, well, we hit the lottery, we have this home run chase, and maybe you just don't want to know. You don't want to go that far into it because you're like, this is really helping our sport come back. So,
right.
You know, we'll deal with things later.
Well, it's easy to forget now, but that strike murdered baseball for people.
Oh, yeah,
the absolutely. The Ripken thing kind of. At least made it like, oh, this is a nice moment. It kind of sucked people back in a little.
Mm.
I was living in Boston at the time, and where the rest of the country was kind of like turning their back on baseball a little. Fenway was like, I think our attendance went up that year because we were doing well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was the year Wakefield got hot and all that stuff. And so we didn't care, but I think around the country, people cared a lot more and were a lot more offended by it.
Right.
But once those homers started going out of the park in 98, people – all of a sudden now we're very forgiving of the
exactly and everybody came back in droves, and that and the Ripken thing, people wrote books about the summer of 98 or whatever, you know, the two things. So yeah, you know, say lovey.
So what happens now?
Well, I mean, that's the interesting thing. What happens 15 years from now when all these guys retire? Are they just going to have a Hall of Fame induction where nobody goes into the Hall of Fame
because everybody's
tainted? That would be what? Awful?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Just had the whole weekend. They're like, we didn't induct anyone this year, fellas.
I mean, you could have two choices. You have a weekend where they don't induct anybody, and it's just like a weekend to celebrate baseball and the old Hall of Famers. Or you're going to have a weekend where guys that are known steroid guys or suspected steroid guys are going to get there and are going to get in, and you're going to have Hall of Famers boycott it. And then you're going to have another. That's going to be a controversy.
Do you read the Bill James thing, right?
I read some of it. I didn't read the whole thing. I kind of glanced over it.
He had a whole thing about how he just feels like steroids are going to become more and more commonplace in our society, and HGH and all the different drugs that make people younger and make them healthier, and, you know,
right.
People put up with this whatever side effects that he felt like our perception of steroids and HGH and all those other things will change, and that will open the door for these guys to then get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's probably he's probably accurate with that. He's probably right. That's true.
You know,
you take him for health reasons, and you know, as he said, to stay younger. Yeah, that's probably true.
Well,
especially with baby boomers looking for everything they can possibly do to, you know, stay young.
Bigger, stronger, faster, which is probably in the cable rotation now. There's a documentary about performance enhancers, and are they really as bad for you as people think? And then he goes into a whole thing about all different medications that people take that also have side effects, but we don't talk about them. Like, pretty much anything has a side effect.
True.
You know, like, you look at when you take out, like, for instance, I've been battling an eye infection all month, which stinks.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I take the eye infection, the drops for it, and I was reading all the different side effects, and there's like 1,000 different side effects, but I got to take it anyway. Now, what if I had one of the side effects? Then,
right.
You know, I think with the steroids, it's the side effects are a lot more common and more identifiable, and, you know, you grow little boobs. And
I mean, well, sports wants to keep it out because they don't want people to have to make a choice. Well, I want to play this sport, but it may shorten my life. You know, I may get cancer,
yeah.
Or I may get this. So that's why it's unfair because, some guys are willing to take the chance and say, like, oh, shoot me up. But it's unfair to the guys that aren't willing to, you know, take those risks with their lives. It shouldn't be that everybody has to take those.
It's totally unfair. Hey, and it's going to be interesting to see how we regard it because, you know, he used, in his piece, he used Will Clark as a really good example of dead even with Rafael Palmeiro, and then Palmeiro pulled away.
He takes off, right.
But I look at, like, somebody like, well, there's a couple guys. Like, what would Jim Rice have been able to do?
Oh, yeah.
If he did it. Even somebody as you know, relatively average as Mike Greenwell.
Well,
who had a really good start, good 5 years. Like, what if he had gotten into it late 20s? Could this guy have been a Hall of Famer? Like, I don't know.
Well, that's what I read this in I think it was actually in the Boston Globe, so this is not my original thought. But somebody had a good point the other day, and I'm going to use this again as a club to continue to beat David Ortiz. But for a guy like Manny, who's just a natural great hitter and has amazing, you know, amazing ability,
yeah.
Steroids, how much did steroids really help him? Did they, you know, give him a little bit of an extra boost? Did it make like a 5% difference in his numbers or a 10% difference in his numbers?
Yeah.
But a guy like David Ortiz, who was on the scrap heap, released, playing behind Jeremy Giambi, and then he turns into Big Poppy. I mean, that made his whole career. He wouldn't have a career without steroids.
I think even a better example, a guy whose name hasn't come out yet, although in Jeff Perlman's book about Clemens, you know, openly talks about Piazza and how he was a rumor guy and he was famous for having
the back knee was like,
back pimples that were so bad that, you know, he had to walk around with a towel all the time. His name hasn't come out yet.
Right.
Or at least hasn't been attached to this stuff. But
I mean, he's another guy who's like a 73rd round draft pick or something, you know?
And I don't know. I mean, I guess we're just going to have to assume that everyone's guilty until proven innocent, unfortunately. Anybody who hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, I mean, your guys from that era are always going to have that taint. I mean, even it probably continues even until today. People still have whispers about Pujols. There's no evidence about anything about him, but people are just like, they can't believe the numbers he puts up. So now you just have, like you say, everyone assumes you're guilty until proven innocent because you just assume, well, you couldn't put up those numbers without some assistance.
Yeah, you know, and
it's not fair if a guy's innocent, obviously, but.
And assuming he is innocent, Pujols, which he has never
been
tied to anything.
Yeah, never been tied to anything, no.
You would think that he would hold a press conference once a week to pound his chest and say how innocent he is. At least that's what I would do.
He should have a press conference every week where he just stands up and pees in a cup.
Yeah, you know what?
Hands it in and says, here, test it.
Imagine if a player did that. I think that would be cool.
Yes.
Here you go, guys.
Right.
Look, I'm going to turn my back. I'm going to pee in this cup. Are you filming?
Right, exactly. A little gun shy, huh?
I got to say, it's a little proactive, and maybe it wouldn't be great to watch one of the baseball superstars urinate on camera.
Probably not.
But on the other hand, I think it would be almost laying the smack down. Here it is. I am innocent. Watch. Here's the urine coming out of my body. Here you go. Test it.
Isn't that like what they do, you know, in the Olympics, like right after a race or whatever event it is? Don't they make the person go and get tested like right then and there?
With a witness, I think.
Yeah, so that's what they should do after a guy has like a 3-homer game. Or like when Melky Cabrera hit for the cycle the other day. Should be like, he's at the post-game press conference. Like, Melky, you got to come in here. You got to do the post-game test.
Well, I said this before, but I think that should be one of the All-Star game wrinkles. The whole losing team gets tested immediately after the game in front of
everybody. You'd see this most competitive game ever.
Yeah.
Pete Rose breaking Ray Fosse's leg would look nothing in comparison, you know?
Any concern about the Red Sox heading into these last 2 months?
Any concern? And
you
got to
be a little concerned, I think. The Red Sox now in FE mode.
The flag, it's us against
them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got Victor Martinez. They're playing better. They scored 18 runs yesterday. I mean, I'm not as gleeful as I was last week when it seemed that they were at rock bottom. things really turned around for them the day that they really were at rock bottom. The Big Poppy report comes out, and they're losing that game 4-1.
Yep.
And then he hits a home run, and they come back and win the game. And I'm like, ooh, man, that's an awful turn of events.
Turning point, baby.
Yeah. I'm not crazy. I mean, I was going to say I'm not crazy about the Red Sox rotation, which I think is shaky beyond Beckett and Lester. And I'm not sure Lester is a superstar that he's cracked up to be either.
It's a number three starter.
But who's got to be a number two starter.
Yes.
And they have a lot of question marks. But the Yanks are running Sergio Mitre out there every fifth day. Burnett blew up on Saturday, and Sabathia has not been lights out. So I can't really throw any stones in the glass house I'm living in. And we're still 0-8 against the Red Sox this year. So
Burnett was due.
He'd been really good for
2 months. Yeah, he was due to get shelled. But I have to say, as somebody who paid $35 in his AL Keeper League for CC Sabathia, haven't totally been impressed.
No, I've been underwhelmed. I mean, at the
had him on yesterday, and it's just he just can't.
I believe in his start. The games that he started, the Yankees are 12-12.
Yeah.
Or you know what? They may have won the other. They may be they're either 13-11 or 12-12. That's not his record, but I think he's like 11-6 or 11-7. But in the games that he started, they're like right around 500. So for the money they spent on him and for what he was supposed to be, that's not what we were looking for.
I mean, on the bright side, he's eating up innings for you.
Yeah, he does, but he like labors through innings.
He actually eats the innings. He puts barbecue sauce on them and eats them.
He literally does. Now, Burnett has been, up until Saturday, Burnett has been a brighter star than we thought he was going to be. He's been great generally in the second half. But, yeah, CC has been a little disappointing.
Yeah.
For
you and me both, for different reasons.
Definitely.
Although it is one of the reasons why I like paying for big money Yankee guys, because if they don't do well, that's the silver lining, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're hurting the Yankees.
You're buying their misery, yeah.
All right, Johnny, are you this week?
Another update from a previous podcast. My wife and I yesterday went to Blockbuster, and we rented the John Adams series on DVD.
Oh, congratulations.
We watched the first two episodes. It was good. I liked it. It's right in my wheelhouse, the history. I like that. It was good.
I got to say, they de-sexed Laura Linney.
Yeah, well, that's the way they were back in the
colonial
times.
That was a little tough. I haven't seen a de-sexing like that since Hannah Storm became the NBC studio host in 1990, and they made her dress like an Amish woman.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
We were so upset in college. We were like, oh, how could they do that to Hannah?
Yeah.
Basically, she was dressed like a Muslim wife, with like a black shield over her face. So you couldn't see her. We think that's Hannah Storm behind the black headdress.
Behind the burqa, right.
So, and one more update about you. You passed 10,000 followers on Twitter.
I did. It's very exciting. I did.
Congratulations.
I think it was Saturday. Yes, I went over 10,000.
I thought it was kind of sad, though, when you were getting close and you told people to tell their friends.
Yeah, well, that was
that seemed like you might have had a few beers in you with that post.
I did. That is accurate, but I was like, I was making a pitch for 10,000, and it worked.
I'm going to say all bets are off with you with the drunken Twittering. I think something bad's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I might have to take it off my phone. It might not go well.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If I do, though, I'll go out and have like 5 scotches, and then I'll make some inappropriate Twitter, and then I'm going to come out and say, I'm going to get to the bottom of how I possibly could have failed this test. I'm going to find out how this drunken Twitter got onto my phone.
Well, what I'm worried about is you leaving the phone on the table and one of your Red Sox friends grabbing the thing and making some
hacking into my
terrible
posts. Hacking into my Twitter on my phone, yeah.
Which, by the way, is a great Twitter defense. Nobody could ever.
Somebody got my phone.
I left my phone in a bar and somebody went on Twitter and they wrote all this terrible stuff.
Yes.
Wasn't me.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so what are you this week? What are you this week for the Yanks?
Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm nervous about the Red Sox because they're 8-0 against us this year. So coming into town, it's not going to be a fun weekend for me because it bothers me too much when they lose to the Red Sox, and it's not even like fun for me to watch the game. So I'm probably like a 5 or a 6 because the Sox are coming to town, and I'm a little worried about that.
I'm going to downgrade myself with the Sox. I'm a 3 out of 10 worried.
Because of V-Mart.
I can't call him V-Mart. First of all, if your name's Victor, you don't need a nickname. How many Victors have you ever met in your life? Have you ever met a Victor?
You could go with Vic Tabak from Atlas.
Yeah, he was in TV. Do you know anyone who's
anyone
you've ever
Victor
met anyone named Victor?
In my life.
Yeah. I'm going to say when your name's Victor, you don't need a nickname. I'm calling that right now.
I do not know any Victors personally, no.
Plus, I hate the nickname shortening.
V-Mart. A-Rod.
V-Mart sounds like a place where I would go, like, buy an Ethernet cable.
It does, V-Mart, yes.
Yeah. I don't like it.
All right.
All right, Johnny.
All right, Willie.
Congratulations on your gloating.
Thank you.
You handled yourself with a little bit of class in the podcast. I appreciate that.
That's good. Luckily, you didn't call me Friday. There would have been no class.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I get the sound off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news, which frankly cannot go unstated. This summer, Subway is teaming up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for just $5 to some of the hottest Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See the nearest Subway for details.